This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy, and I'm here today talking with Brian Kuhn of OVH USA.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Can you give us a little bit of a view as to why OVH has split its European and its US businesses?
I think it all boils down to the protection of data and having the opportunity for the US, folks that want to host in the US and that are from the US, allowing them to host in the US and host anywhere else in the world we would like to, and be conformant with the privacy laws of the United States. And for OVH's current European and customers elsewhere in the world, be conformant with the privacy laws of Europe. It's really of the separation and making sure that data protection and privacy can be adhered to.
That's quite important for a lot of European customers because they see differences in how they protect data, what can be done to their data. Are you hearing the phrases GDPR and other privacy legislation coming up?
I have indeed. I have to say I'm a little more preoccupied with a few other things in my universe to dig deeply into those. But yes, those are items that have come up in conversations, specifically with analysts and with press. Customers haven't been hitting us on that, although I do know that the European team's been getting requests about how that works.
Been a pretty chaotic year for you, hasn't it? I mean, a year ago you were looking at the first data center, then the second one pops up as a build, and where do we go? You acquire VMware, vCloud Air, and you've got four data centers, and a whole business that comes along with that.
It's a lot crazier than that. Let me untangle your question just a little bit. The Octave in last October at the OVH Summit announced the first U.S. data center. That's true. It's coming up on that 1 year mark. However, the U.S. entity didn't really spin up until January. So as we sit here in July upon recording, it's really only been 7 months that all of the activities that you just described have actually been happening. Forming the U.S. entity and getting the U.S. leadership team in place, understanding what our go-to-market plan was going to look like, having the opportunity to do the vCloud Air acquisition from VMware was a fairly interesting time at the very beginning of the year, which changed the go-to-market strategy for what we were going to do. And then actually executing the acquisition has been a fairly good time consumption of the first three or four of those months to get us there. And then now the activity, again, why I couldn't answer your question in completeness of having detail there is that we've been very busy getting ready as we approach the OVH Summit and VMworld of having and being able to talk about what is next for OVH US for the vCloud Air powered by OVH product line and for OVH as a whole.
So will you merge the data centers together so there'll be OVH customers in terms of the traditional hosting in all the data centers, or will the vCloud Air stay on its side and the traditional hosting cloud stay on the other side?
I'll answer that this way. The OVH data centers are unique. The opportunity to do the vertical integration, we build our own servers, we build our own data centers, we have the water cooling technology that allows us to do performance improvements, etc. All of the greatness of the scalability and flexibility that we have by doing that vertical integration is something unique to the OVH data center. The data centers that we plan to build are in the process of building in the U.S., both in Virginia and in Oregon, coupled with the data centers that are coming new to Europe for both the U.K. and Germany. Where the current vCloud Air data center footprint is, those will be where the new innovation takes place. So we will certainly continue to support and grow the existing customers in the vCloud Air data centers, but the new products that we choose to offer, the new solutions, will take place in those new data centers.
Picking up on one thing you said about building your own equipment, it's interesting when we look at the large cloud players out there, one or two, in order to go hyperscale, have had to build their own equipment. They started to just take processor motherboards, put the machines together in order to meet power, heat envelopes, but also the processing requirements they have per square foot. OVH, of course, has built its whole history on this. Octave likes to talk regularly about starting with a little water pump from a fish tank as the early cooling that they used. How much does that give you a head start over other players trying to move into that hyper-dense space because you have this history of designing for very small footprint?
That is an interesting question because you're asking how much of a head start. We are in a unique position and have a unique history of the innovations that we've made. We are one of the first, if not the first, of the providers such as ourselves that have used water cooling technology. Back to the fish pump reference. The uniqueness that we have with that water cooling technology and our history of building our own servers, so getting the sheet metal, etching it with the laser cutters, bending it, finding those motherboards, those aren't as unique perhaps as when you look at the other global hyperscale providers. But the full package and that full end-to-end vertical integration, we're not using colos. We do build our own data centers. Some of the others build their own data centers. We own our own network. Some of the other players have their own network. But we have that full bundle, that full package, and it's what lets us turn new data centers around fairly quickly. It's what allows our product then also to scale a different way and flex a different way. Our relationships that we've formed with the chip manufacturers for the processors allow us to offer some better performing products. The water cooling on top of that improves the performance even more. Then I would say there's a layer of automation that we have. And again, some of the other providers have this as well. But that full package of what OVH has in offering that vertical integration and the automation and the flexibility of billing allows customers then to scale and flex their muscles in the business a different way. While piecemeal, some of the competitors have what we have, I think, a more complete package.
You're entering into a market that, in many ways, is quite mature when we look at the big players in the United States. We've seen other companies attempt to enter that market and withdraw or simply just sell out to another player. You have this uniqueness, this hyperscale capability that the others have been developing themselves, and you're entering with that. You're not looking to have to run around and find a competitive edge in that sense. How much does that project you into the market at a price point where you can compete comfortably, rather than, as other new entrants have discovered, they end up cutting right the way down to the bone and sometimes further?
You're equating market entry and low price and the build out altogether. We're the biggest hosting provider no one in the U.S. has heard of. We are the largest provider in Europe. Coming to the U.S., it's in many ways the flip of what most U.S. companies do and come in and do in Europe. I don't perceive, or at least it is not our target or not our intention, of coming in as the cutthroat pricing company. It's a race to the bottom to do that. And certainly some of the other cloud providers over time have reduced their prices as their costs have decreased. And that will certainly be the case for us as well. And one of our benefits, again, doing the vertical integration that we have, of having a different cost structure. But there's something that scares customers off when you do that. And for the market that we want to compete in and compete against these other players with, in entering as a global hyperscale provider and targeting upper order business and enterprise market, especially for the customers that we already have with vCloud Air, we can't take that approach. We will not be perceived as appropriate for their purchase requirements. So probably not something we will do.
It was interesting, some things of your answer there. For example, earlier on you were talking about vCloud Air and types of customers that they have. You mentioned there what those customers will require. You also mentioned earlier that you changed your go-to-market strategy with that acquisition. How much are you now able to refine who you're going to target? Because, again, most new entrants into market, no matter how established they are outside of a country, tend to come in and they have to find where they sit in terms of the size of customer they're targeting. You have a lot of customers as OVH worldwide who are small to mid-sized businesses. vCloud Air tends not to be those small to mid businesses, it's the mid to large enterprises. Is that the market you're going for?
The root of your question is we changed our market entry strategy. Well, actually we didn't. The acquisition of vCloud Air accelerated our strategy. There was a point where we thought we were going to be launching into the U.S. market with just what the current OVH products were, where those products generally are, as you noted, sold via an e-commerce channel. So they're bought. Whereas over time, we were going to have to develop a strategy, the sales force, the human resources to do account management, etc., so that we could tackle more of that enterprise target market. That was always the goal. It was very fortuitous and something that came from the vCloud Air acquisition that, yes, we were getting these customers and, yes, we were getting these data centers, but we also were getting these really fantastic employees that had these skill sets that we were going to need to do this. So the vCloud Air acquisition, while it changed this year's go-to-market strategy, it didn't change the overall strategy, it just accelerated it. And thus, to target those markets, to target those customers, they were always on the target list. We just now have the skill, the capability, the experience to be able to pursue them exactly as vCloud Air sales team was pursuing them, but now with the benefit and support of having the entire OVH infrastructure as a service line behind it.
What services do you see OVH bringing to that established vCloud Air market?
So part of the opportunity that we have and how Octave has spoken about this is that the OVH cloud universe has three components of what we're offering. There is certainly the hosted private cloud where vCloud Air sits and mashes up against what OVH has today. We also have public cloud services, instances, storage, platform as a service, and then we have our dedicated servers, and thinking of those in some ways as a cloud. Those three product lines are all items that OVH US will offer, and thus will be things that the vCloud Air customers will be able to take advantage of. For those customers that are today the vCloud Air dedicated cloud product, if they need to augment that service in any way with additional resources for storage, with a dedicated server, or with archive storage from our public cloud service, that will be all something that they can add to the product that they have. So all of that should be augmented.
That's a big bonus for you. If I think about the conversations I have with IBM SoftLayer, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, many of the other players, the emphasis is now all about hybrid. Be that hybrid solely within the cloud or hybrid from premises to cloud. You also have another element that makes hybrid easier for you, and that's the fact that you own your own network. Are you seeing a lot of pull through from customers wanting to talk about hybrid cloud now as it's matured, or are we still on that edge point where those customers who've already made an investment in cloud see the benefits, others are still not quite sure where they want to go?
I think there's two parts to your question. One is about general hybrid and whether the customers want that. So, and you appropriately phrased that in two ways. The vCloud Air customers already, with the use cases of disaster recovery, data center extension, and data center replacement, use hybridity today. So they're already taking an on-prem data center and bringing it into the cloud. And that is a good thing for them and a good use and use cases that we will continue at OVH. The second piece of that, as you also noted, is cloud-to-cloud hybridity. And that is something that OVH does very well today in offering vRAC, vRAC Connect, vRAC Connect, again, from the on-prem, but vRAC in terms of the hybridity across their current cloud products, and then as we can look at other capabilities of talking to other clouds. So yes, customers are definitely looking at that. Those are definitely the use cases that vCloud Air sells into today, and those continue to be the use cases for the other piece of that hybridity with other non-vCloud VMware-based technologies that we are hearing from them now as the acquisition has been announced and we're starting to have those conversations.
OVH is also a big OpenStack partner, and one of the big pushes with OpenStack recently has been interoperability. How essential do you think that's going to be moving forward? Because one of the things that OpenStack talked about is customers no longer want to be on one cloud. They're really now building clouds of clouds.
Yes. So the same trend that you're talking about are items that we've heard, the importance of that. Your foundational question is about OpenStack, and OVH and OpenStack are great partners, and we continue to develop with them. OVH contributes to and develops and allows our developers to use OpenStack APIs, and that will be absolutely something that we continue to do. The VMware stack is another framework for portability, and certainly coming back to that customer loop or competitor loop that we were talking about are things that customers absolutely want to use clouds and other clouds and having other clouds talk to each other. So a tenant of OVH and OVH US is the openness and the portability, whichever of the either open source or rough standard stack that we have with VMware, that the customers can do what they need to do. We should put their workloads in the right place for them.
If we look at that acquisition, what does that give you in terms of an accelerated customer base, in terms of numbers of customers at the moment? And given that you're running the US operation now separate from the European operation, what's going to happen with the vCloud Air customers? Are you going to give them the opportunity to be part of OVH US and OVH Worldwide in the same way as you've done with your offering to OVH customers? Or is that going to be run, as it is at the moment, as a single homogenous unit?
For now, we are going to operate it as a single homogenous unit. Looking at a group of employees that have been together for years, they've all been disconnected from VMware and coming into OVH. the time for the U.S. employees has now only roughly been 2 months. The European employees have now been OVH employees for roughly 2 weeks. There's a lot to overcome in terms of making sure you take care of your employees. That is one of the big reasons that they're not separated right now, is maintaining some integrity of holding like resources together to achieve like objectives. The units being held together for human resources reasons, for separation from VMware, there's a bunch of back-end technology that still has to be separated and is harder to separate in two different directions rather than one. So for the moment, the customers in Europe will be customers of OVH US.
vCloud Air already announced it's going to continue to the development behind the scenes for you for a period of time. Do we have an idea of how long that will be for?
For vCloud Air, and I guess very specifically around Hybrid Cloud Manager and the hybridity use cases, those are things that we're working through with them right now. We have a sense of what that roadmap will look like at least for the next 6 months or so as we get through VMworld and towards the end of the year. We haven't talked about what happens after that point in time, but we are a vCAN partner. We are a partner that just acquired a piece of VMware, and we have customer relationships that have to be managed and maintained, where brand and the integrity of what we offer together is important, customer first in terms of what we do. So the exact timelines, no, I can't talk about that, but suspect that that will be a very long range arrangement because of the customers. How do we make sure we take care of them?
Seems you've got a very busy time ahead of you. Thank you for your time today.
Of course. Thank you very much.